it.
All right.
Hey, 101.3 Free Radio, or Freak Radio as I call it. We got a good song here queued up by some dear friends of mine. Three of them, and Trade Dog's in the house. He's actually on this CD. He's a musician. Say hi. Woof, woof.
Hello. Hello, ladies, gentlemen, and dogs of all ages.
Cats, too. We're not, we're not animalistic here.
Yes.
These beasties, what else do? We're not prejudiced towards any animals, birds, or creatures.
We even love squirrels.
We even love squirrels and insects.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's so good to be here, Mr. Merlin, and with you and Dolly. It's been much too long, and especially on this, your birthday show, it's a real honor and a pleasure. And I got to ask you, Dolly, how do you like radio compared to TV? You did some TV at some point, didn't you?
Yeah, she's done like years and years of being a director. She's the best director I've ever seen on television. Rock and roll shows are hard to direct.
So
can you speak into the...
Yeah. Well, this is different from directing television, that's for sure. I'm not talking to people on camera. That's
well, what do you like better?
Well,
it's hard to say.
I got to say, you must appreciate not having to climb up ladders and put gels in front of lights, right?
Well, I loved doing that.
You loved
it? Everything about TV was awesome.
Oh,
and
really?
This is so fun, too. It's just different, isn't
it? It's a different medium, different medium.
Yeah, that's what it is, a different medium.
Well, and people can't watch TV in their cars. Well, they're not supposed to,
well,
at least,
unfortunately,
right?
It seems like the only freedom of speech medium these days that we've got. Mm. You know, at least before 10 p.m., I could say.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to play a song. This is, I'm not sure if it's quite finished yet. It's on my friend Hari's debut CD. We've been recording music together for close to 20 years now, and we've done a lot of stuff. And so this is from a CD that has yet to be released. So this is a pre-release copy that I'm giving you for your birthday. And we this is a song that we did, our friend Paul composed the music, and I recorded it, added the drums and bass, and my daughter, Jolly Ann, I'm playing bass and drums.
And singing?
And singing with Jolly Ann.
Jolly Ann? I thought that was Dolly Dagger.
Jolly Ann.
Oh, Jolly Ann. She's a pirate. That's right.
She's shooting daggers at me. Anyways, it's called Morning Light. And I want to dedicate it to my friend Uncle Wiggly, who passed away yesterday after a brief battle with cancer. He was a wonderful soul, a mad scientist. He would have appreciated this place. And we wish him a pleasant journey to his next destination. Here it is, the radio debut of Morning Light.
Yeah.
Thank you. storm has died. Morning light, after the sighs we sighed. Morning light, darling, I have loved you from the very first sight.
Almost sounded Hawaiian to me. You know the number of the next blues type song from this band?
It's the next one on the CD.
Is it 15? Oh, hold on a second. Let me get that right. Let me make sure we're doing it right. Let's try it. Let's see if we got it. Same band. See if you like this song, guys and girls.
Tell you, might not understand. And that was a replay of Merlin's show, Idle Hands. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM. Also, freakradio.org. Coming up next, Bathrobe Spears Broadside's latest updates on the struggle for the final, well, we're getting together some actual community resistance to the destruction of homeless services and the creation of some decent ones for once. Wouldn't that be good? Stay tuned. We're talking about the right to sleep, the right to eat, the right to survive in Santa Cruz if you're poor. Don't go away.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. I want a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. It must be packed with social fact, or I won't love you. Sing me of kings and conferences martial. Tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
And welcome to the Thursday, is it? Yes, it is. It's Thursday's edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. I'm alone in the studio today, although lots of people talked to me earlier today at the survival protest outside the Homeless Lack of Services Center on the corner of Highway 1 and Highway 9 when Food Not Bombs served a meal, gathered volunteers, provided all kinds of food, held out signs, got a lot of honks, made a lot of contact with people coming out of the Page Smith Community House and Paul Lee Loft and the Homeless Lack of Services Center generally and the public. Made the occasional contact with the police department and planned for another, we're not sure what, but we're going to be taking assessment on Sunday at the Food Not Bombs meal. Is actually going to be right after the Sunday meal. Food Not Bombs in Santa Cruz has two meals at the main post office outside from 4 to 6. One of them is Saturday, one of them is Sunday. And Sunday at 6:30, Food Not Bombs will be having another emergency breakfast meeting to see if there's going to be more emergency breakfast next week and what can be done to deal with for the emergency encampment that has been is being planned or discussed or formulated around or, I don't know, fantasized about for the first of the month, when there's still a lot of uncertainty as to whether the very limited and highly inadequate Paul Lee Loft and Paige Smith Community House Shelter Programs, which are actually, they've got all kinds of technical terms, transitional housing programs, are they due to be ended or not? We're getting different stories. The word from Jan and Thomas on May 26th, the city council, was they're all gone, including services of a daily sort like meals, bathroom, showers, mail, laundry, at the end of this month and at the beginning of next month. I think one is slightly a few days later than the other. But then there's new word, kind of, again, grapevine stuff, and there's supposed to be some official word coming out tonight that Paige Smith, which is the community house, is maybe they're going to dump about half the folks there, or 17 of them, giving them eviction notices. They already have. You're going to hear a little bit of that perhaps in the tape or audio now that I've got available here today. But then instead, they're going to be turning it into a drug rehab program or a dump them from the jail program or some other rehabilitation program. They like to put it that way. It's and this is a substitute for, independent housing and meaningful work and jobs. We get this semblance of social service stuff, which is pretty disgusting, frankly, in my mind. But, for those who it provides temporary lodging and shelter and perhaps a leg up to, that's not a bad thing. But, of course, there's so many people that it doesn't, who are outside in need, that it really is kind of a little jokey thing in a way, except for those who are able to use it, which is a small fraction of the community of people who need it. So we'll be talking about that. And again, there's a meeting at 6:30 on Sunday. Go to the town, right across from the town clock at the main post office. That's where Food Not Bombs is, again, having its meal, and they'll have its meeting. And there's other stuff coming up, too, which I hope we can describe. I think Juneteenth is happening on Saturday. That's the traditional celebration of the time in... No one was quite sure the day, but about this time of the month, the news hit Texas in 1865 that the Civil War was over and slavery had been abolished. I think slavery was abolished before the Civil War was over, but I'm not quite sure the exact date. But it did take a Civil War to end slavery, there's no question. The great white conservative plantation slaveholders who traditionally started the United States back in the 1780s and maintained control of it up to the 1860s, I would never have allowed it without a military overthrow. So, unfortunately, I don't know if you needed an army to do it or a general insurrection. In Haiti, they had an insurrection, and that, of course, was crushed and repressed for the last 200 years by the nation's white supremacist nations around it. But that's another story. So, let's begin with some audio from May 31st, that was the first emergency planning session. That was the Sunday before last when Food Not Bombs met and began discussing, and also other community activists, setting up an emergency breakfast in front of the Homeless Lack of Services Center, which was then later moved to the area at Highway 1 and Highway 9 for greater visibility. Good suggestion by Food Not Bombs activist Abby Samuels. And that's where it was for the last two breakfasts, Monday and today, Thursday, and may well be again next week if the breakfasts continue, which we'll see if they will. Let's hear some audio from, an interview with someone who had previously, actually still a volunteer, I think, at the Homeless Lack of Services Center. That's Coral Street, 115 Coral Street. And again, I remind people the reason I call it the Lack of Services Center is not just because they're threatening to or announcing they have cut services for virtually all people who aren't in their very limited programs, but because even those in the programs and even those who are getting a meal and laundry and so forth now, this center does not provide the most basic shelter or emergency camping space or advocacy and defense against police department harassment that you would expect from, I think, homeless advocates who are, for example, in larger cities. That's what you find. However, in smaller cities where this shelter was really set up as a way of driving homeless people out of the downtown area, off to Coral Street, where we were providing meals, we being Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, SWAP, A Soup Without a Permit, and Food Not Bombs, even, back in the late 80s as a protest against police violence against the homeless, the sleeping ban, and other obvious survival issues that have remained unresolved and unaddressed by the authorities, the Central City Council and county authorities. In order to get us out of there with our meals at the town clock, first they tried arresting us repeatedly. That didn't work. So, and it was rather embarrassing to the so-called liberal progressives at City Council, Marty Wormhout, John Laird, Mike Rotkin, all those great liberals, you know, who are so socialistic and so forth, when it comes to being somewhere else except at Santa Cruz and dealing with their own poor people. That they stopped doing it and they set up instead, or they funded, or they supported and endorsed free meal services out in Coral Street, which later became the Community Resource Center, which later became the Homeless Services Center, which are now a sort of this lock, closed prison gate area, which some homeless folks like. We're going to hear some interviews of some people who feel it's necessary. I don't know if this is the Stockholm syndrome, where people who are held captive in these circumstances actually feel come to agree with their captors, you know, or maybe they don't want to criticize them for fear that things are going to get worse if they do. Or, you know, there have been genuine problems that have arisen, but speaking as a guy who doesn't live there, freaks me out, that's for sure, and I don't like it. And I've talked to plenty of people, other people who don't, who have lived there or have tried to use their services. So anyway, let's hear some of that. And, maybe your phone calls. 427-3772 is the call-in number. Area code. You can carry the area, but better if you phone in at 831-427-3772. Again, 831-427-3772. And give me your thoughts. If you are out there today at the meal, if you would like to have been, if you're concerned about how police are treating people downtown, or if you think it's the homeless people should be moved out. You know, there are plenty of people in Santa Cruz, or at least a strong vocal minority. Take Back Santa Cruz is one organization that seems to have a number of them. They're now represented in the City Council and the Public Works Department, which is apparently pressing forward with its no parking at all on Coral, Fern, and Limekiln streets 24 hours, though they have still refused to respond to whether they have accepted my appeal of their proposal, whether the Transportation Commission is going to be considering it, whether the signs are just going to be put in. I can't get Micah Posner, council member, to respond to that. Maybe I'll call him before the show is over and see what he has to say. And we can get some clarity on these mystified, mysteried, darkened, smoky issues that should be really relatively clear for folks, because they're important. I mean, if you can't park near homeless services, such as they are, or lack of services for most, but some for a few, then it's going to be really difficult for you to access them even more so. And it seems like this is unnecessarily abusive and another one of those get the fuck out of town kind of things, which that's rather baldly put, but maybe that's really what it is. Let's go to the audio.
I'm talking with Joe Clark. And Joe, you've been a cook at the homeless, what I call the Homeless Lack of Services Center for some time.
Yeah, I volunteer a lot of services.
And you spoke here at this meeting, which apparently is planning an occupation, or at least a protest as a possible preparation to an occupation down here at this very area we're at next to Mission and Front Street. But you say that you yourself have gotten a felony trespass ticket. What's that about?
Well, I've actually gotten lots of trespassing tickets. I got one, two of them actually, sleeping next to the homeless shelter, next to the brick wall there on the outside, because I wasn't allowed in the shelter.
So you cook, but they don't let you sleep
there?
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, you know, and I also, you can't expect that much from a homeless shelter.
Yeah,
now, come on.
Exactly. But I got the felony trespass. It was a mistake I made.
Before you get into the felony trespass, though, I'm interested in this earlier case you just brought up. When was this ticket for sleeping next to the homeless shelter?
Oh, this has been about probably 3 months ago.
And what were the circumstances?
Basically, the shelter was full. They didn't have any emergency beds, and I was not feeling well, and you know, I'd had a 30-day bed sometime before that.
At the Pauley Loft.
Yeah, and then I eventually, you know, lost my 30-day bed and so started camping out. And so when I wasn't feeling well, I needed to be near a bathroom because I couldn't find a place to use the toilet, you know?
Right.
And so what ended up happening was I slept as close as I could to the shelter there to the wall so that I could slip in there at night if I had to and use the bathroom in there.
Now, was the gate locked at this time?
This is before the gate was locked.
Okay, and yeah. Currently it's locked?
Currently it's locked. I couldn't get in the other night. They wouldn't allow me in.
Because of a ban? Or?
There's a particular guy working there that's just got issues.
So you've not actually been officially banned?
No. I was actually, technically, I was supposed to have been banned. The courts told me I was banned the other day because of being upset and
banned from the homeless service center using the toilet.
Even though I worked there.
Well,
and
yeah.
So basically, the judge, someone stood up in the courtroom, and so the judge had scratched it, and he removed that from the list of places they banned me from.
I'm taking a side road. Where are you banned from?
Basically, a number of different places where I found sleep. You know,
such as
a little spot, little hidden spot behind Farrell's Donuts, where there's a little waterway.
Did you just spoil the area, throw donuts at people? What happened?
No, I guess they'd seen me climbing the fence, and the owner of Farrell's Donuts felt that, you know, that might be discouraging his customers or, you know, affecting his business.
Were you the only one doing it, or were others doing it?
I assume there someone had been there in the past, because when I got there, I found a few little messes that I cleaned up.
And were you actually ever ticketed there or told to leave?
Not there. But then when I went to court the other day, the judge said that I was banned from there.
And you went to court on another trespass case?
Yeah.
What was that trespass case?
And that was a felony trespass, but that was a little different story. That was the Yacht Harbor. And
tell me about that.
And the Harbor Patrol, they're... it's kind of hard to describe, you know. They're used to working with people with a lot of money. Most people have, if you can afford to have a boat and have it in a slip there, you've got money, you know. You can certainly afford to buy a nice home, you know. And basically, they do not want the homeless anywhere near that place because, you know, these people, a lot of these people have these expensive boats and they're afraid that the homeless might end up stealing something from them.
Uh-huh.
And so I was hoping to use the shower and wandered
on. Trying to steal water, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, they have showers for the people, you know, the boats. And
so you were caught in the act of washing yourself?
I had a little boat myself on there at one time, but I lost it because I couldn't afford the slip fees any longer because my partner and I, you know.
So what happened on this one occasion? Were you told to leave? Were you arrested in mid-shower?
I was arrested and taken to jail. And then when I went before the judge...
How long were you held?
I was held about 11 or... about 8 days, actually, now that I think about it.
And what was the charge?
Well, I had that charge, and then I had a number of other charges. Because, you know, at times, you know, when you're stressed out, you know, you need to have a beer, especially if you're freezing and cold. So because of the fact that I popped up in a beer way up in the woods, and the rangers came out of nowhere and found me in my...
Drinking without a permit. Who do you think you are, Joe?
Yeah.
What do you think, you're over 21? Forget it, man.
I even had a sheriff tell me, you know, hey, I wait till I get home, you know. And that when I get home, that's when I have a beer. I don't drink it in public. And I said, who's the public?
Open container, or was it drunk in public?
There was couple open containers and three drunken publics.
Were you violent in your drunkenness, Joe?
Oh, no. Actually, it was very cooperative and nice, you know.
But the and the judge decided nonetheless to ban you from here, there, and everywhere?
A number of places, yeah.
Are you banned from the Poganip?
No. No.
You're not banned from the parks. Have you gotten stay away orders from the parks?
No, not any of the parks. I did make a couple mistakes also. I was cold and hungry a couple times, and I had missed so many nights of sleep, and had run my card up a little bit too much, my ATM card. And so, you know, I went in to have coffee at Denny's and
you attempted to welch on the coffee.
Basically went to Denny's and Santa Cruz Diner, you know, and there's two different occasions, and I sat there to stay warm, drink coffee, and
they didn't like that.
And then you know, trying to figure out, remember in my head how much money I had in my account, so I figured, okay, I can get some eggs and cheap breakfast, you know. And didn't quite have enough to pay for the breakfast. And this happened twice. But yet, my card, my other card, I could have used it with it, but I didn't know it at the time. And so they didn't want to argue with me, so they just called the police. So I got ticketed. And
were you taken to jail or just ticketed?
Not just ticketed. And so
the Yacht Harbor sent you to jail for, what, 8 or 10 days, but the Denny's only ticketed you.
Yeah, basically Denny's and Santa Cruz. What is it called? Is it
Santa Cruz Diner?
The Santa Cruz Diner, yeah, or one over here. Uh-huh. And so basically what it amounted to was I had to go back. I left them my card, I left one my ID, and I went back and I paid my bills.
Right.
So when I went to court the other day and got trespassing ticket stuff, I also had the list of Denny's and Santa Cruz Diner that I was banned from as well. But my good friend at Santa Cruz Diner, I've been going in there, you know, every other night, and you know, and
contributing to their business.
And contributing to their business. So they'll allow me in, but the courts say I can't go in there. So
it's between the diner and the judge. We'll see who wins that that arm wrestling. But you got a felony trespass ticket.
Yeah, it's reduced to a misdemeanor now.
But the felony was for what particular place?
The Yacht Harbor.
That was the Yacht Harbor.
Yeah.
So you got the distinction of a felony ticket, and you got the royal treatment, the royal stay in jail, bologna sandwiches.
I did get a sandwich.
There you go. What are you complaining about?
I got a ride in a nicer vehicle than most limousines. The Harbor Patrol has the nicest truck, and riding in the back of that was nicer than the times I've rode in the back of limousines. And I thought to myself, wow, this is kind of nice. First, he's got a 9mm pointer to my nose. The next minute, you know, I'm riding in what feels like a limousine in a nice comfy seat. I almost fell asleep back there on the way.
Well, so in other words, but he didn't shoot you, which could have saved everyone and the taxpayers a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
On the other hand, some of the homeless folks would not have gotten your meals out of the homeless lack of services.
Yeah, that's true.
When did you are you still cooking out there? Or no?
I come and I volunteer. I try to do it every morning and every afternoon. Today I was supposed to be there, but I decided to help you guys out.
So you were there yesterday?
I was there this morning, and I was there yesterday morning, and I also helped with getting the computers set up and network and everything years ago.
So in spite of the citation you got, and you were convicted of trespass for sleeping outside the homeless service center, or near the homeless service center.
Yeah, I was on...
Or did you have to sneak in and use the bathroom?
Well, actually, you're allowed... back then, you were allowed to go in at night and use the bathroom.
You're not allowed to do it anymore?
It depends on the person. If they've got issues with you, and there's one particular guy that has issues with me because obviously he's never been homeless and he's never been through anything bad in life, you know. He's just, you know, tries to act like a nice guy, but he's actually deep down, he's kind of a vicious person, you know. Like she was a gangbanger type, you know. Most of the security they have hired there.
So it's a security discretion whether you can use the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
But most of the ex-felons are not bad guys?
Well, I wouldn't say most of them.
You mentioned only one guy was a problem person.
But he's a real problem. But
the others are less,
they've replaced,
problem, but less
they've replaced
so.
The others, but they've replaced them with guys that are a little more, a little better educated, and they're a little nicer guys, but they're a lot more effective.
But the open bathroom policy is now over, or was it ever an open bathroom policy?
Now it's the campus is closed at 7 o'clock at night, and if you're not out of there by 7 o'clock at night, then you're arrested for trespassing.
And does that happen much?
It almost happened to me last night.
Really?
Yeah, he chased me. As I'm walking out the gate, I said, I'm leaving, I'm walking out the gate, and he said, I've got the cops on the line.
Name
know?
Of this guy is?
His name is Josh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And African-American, white, what's the door story?
He's a Mexican guy.
Mexican guy.
Yeah. And he tries to act nice to people, and he tries to act like he cares, and gives advice to people, but I just found out he doesn't even have a GED. He's not even qualified to do the job he's doing.
So what about so? Well, you've kind of given me the background. Are you? Do you have any? You say you're on felony probation, even though it was reduced to a misdemeanor.
Actually, it's I don't believe it's felony probation. I believe it's summary
court probation. Maybe.
Yeah, court. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have to report. As a matter of fact,
court probation, you don't. You just have to avoid. You have to obey all laws, as they say.
Exactly. That's
so. You'll be one of the first people they bust at this protest, Mister.
Yeah, that's what scared me because last night I slept next to the creek over there.
Are you still sleeping outside? Don't you know better than to sleep in Santa Cruz? What is your problem?
Yeah, I thought about walking like I used to, walking all the way to Swift Street, you know, to the end of town there, and just. Where you can actually lay down on the ground and sleep.
Well, we expect you to show up at the homeless, should we say, the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, when we will be further discussing this occupation proposal and what can be done to at least prepare for a large discussion / protest / information / you know, get it together sort of scene to do it if, in fact, people still want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... with a combined effort and you know, talking to all the right people, I think we can make it. You know, Portland, Oregon has a great setup.
Dignity Village. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, I guess, right to. There's another encampment that came out of the Occupy movement in Oregon. I'm not quite sure what it was called at this moment. Anyway, we've been talking with
Joe Clark.
Anything else, Joe?
That'll do for now. I've got a lot to try to do. I'm locked out of the shelter because I didn't make it back in time, so my sleeping bag is locked in there, and they won't allow me to go in there and get it.
Great. So what are you going to do?
So I'm going to go see if I can get a blanket out of the blanket donation thing over there behind, the Project PER. I think it might still be out there. But if not, I'll probably go in one of the all-night restaurants and sit there and drink coffee.
Do they have a 45-minute limit, or are you able to? I guess it depends on whether you know the folks, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of options I have, you know, and I have sleeping bags stashed to different places along the
secret stashes.
Yeah,
I see. Very
secret stashes.
So these are implements of your criminal behavior.
Yeah. Because you know. Everything gets stolen from you, and the problem is that, you know, it's one thing when other people steal your stuff, they probably need it, but the cops will take it and throw it away.
But it's all for your own good.
Yeah.
You have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, Joe.
Exactly.
By your own backpack, perhaps. Or, oops, there goes your backpack. Without your backpack.
they threw my backpack away the other day. When they arrested me, my backpack was on the ground, and they didn't pick it up.
You know,
left it sitting there. And
there are people who are looking for plaintiffs, not just Ed Fry. We heard his proposal here was to sue in these three counties for violations of the Welfare and Institutions Code with this cutoff of shelter services. But also Steve Plage, the guy who talked, also the tall fellow. Mm-hmm. He's looking for plaintiffs in a lawsuit where people's property has been stolen by the police or the Parks and Rec Rangers. If you'd like to get in touch with him, I can give you his number. And for those who are interested, it's 466-6078. 466-6078. also 7-8, and also we're working on small claims court, Huff, that is, or no, we're working on it. We acquired a whole bunch of claim forms that we're telling the city, if they wake you up in the middle of the night and they give you no legal place to go, it's like someone coming into the middle of your house and waking you up.
Exactly.
That's a violation. That's and you're essentially being deprived of sleep, and so we're suggesting people might want to take
especially
that small
claim. Especially when they kick you in the
ribs. Well, that's only a way of disciplining you, just to make sure you keep them straight and narrow, you see.
I just figure they're just trying to be nice and, you know.
Well, a little naughty, perhaps. You know, sometimes they're naughty, sometimes they're nice. Anyway, if you're interested in any of that, we can talk about it at the Huff meeting, which, again, is on the card, in case you're interested.
I think one of the most important things we can do is we all get together and speak with Ralph Boroff,
the attorney
you mentioned, that represented the
Well, homeless. You're going to talk to Ralph and get him on our team.
We're going
to
do that.
All right, Joe, you got it. Call me up and tell me know how that goes.
I sure will.
I'm serious.
And I'll have a... I got my phone stolen, so I'll have a new phone in the morning. I have to go get a new one.
can people get these? Are these Obama phones we're talking about? Or?
Yeah, I got one of those, and when the cops left my backpack on the ground.
So you can get another one from... Where do you go to get a phone?
Well, for another Obama phone, I got to go all the way to Salinas and pay the $32, which is
too
bad.
There's no local service here that does that?
No.
Interesting.
Not for the Obama. But I'm just going to... I have had a Metro PCS account before, and they've got cheap phones there and a great unlimited talk, you know, and so at least those you can count on, you know.
Do they have video capability?
Yeah, yeah. So
again, the company you suggest people get phones from is?
Metro PCS.
And where is it in Santa Cruz?
Water Street.
And Water and the cross street is?
Is Water and Rancho 40, North Rancho 40.
And we've been talking again with?
Joe Clark.
Joe, a lot of useful information. Thank you, man.
You're welcome. Look forward to seeing you at me.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, bud.
All right.
I got to find my friend. He's around here somewhere, right?
Yeah, and so we left Joe. That was Sunday before last. Apparently, he has to go wander over to a restaurant from which he's been banned by the judge, but not by the restaurant. Can't go outside and, you know, use a sleeping bag with his backpack. According to him, wasn't picked up by the police. But we did learn, and also this information came to the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting. Yesterday, we had a small meeting. We usually have one every week at the Sub Rosa, which has been moved a couple times because the Rosa hasn't been open. We hope next week it will be open. Hey, and everyone's invited. It's 11 o'clock on Wednesday. But we learned from one of the activists, I think it was either Lucero or Sherry, that the Homeless Lack of Services Center is, well... Some company out there, maybe to get federal recognition or grants, is providing phones, I think, with video capability. The problem is, of course, if you lose them, you have to go all the way to Salinas to get them replaced, as Joe was mentioning. At least I heard this from him and from someone else. But I do encourage everyone who is outside or is likely to be or is using their services and who needs to have some kind of phone, even if you don't necessarily intend to use the phone much as a phone, having it as a device to document what happens around you, particularly with respect to the police, not just with respect to what happens to you, but with respect to what happens to other people, is a very, very important and perhaps the only real deterrent to police misconduct. And we've heard about police review boards and police retraining and, judicial checks and federal investigations and all this kind of stuff. And not that any of this isn't possibly good, but it hasn't been effective, any of this stuff, in stopping police murder, police violence, police cover-ups, police arrogance, police abuses generally. And that's true in Santa Cruz as well as elsewhere. I ran across it this morning myself as I walked to the protest at the very gates of the Homeless Lack of Services Center at 115 Coral Street. I may be playing some of that, if not tonight, may not get to it, but on Sunday when I do a longer version of the show. So get a phone and use it, or at least appear to be using it, because that will most likely moderate police behavior. It also, of course, may make you a target, and that's another problem, too. So you have to weigh these things, but I encourage you to think about them, consider them, and at least have those tools available for you. And I think that the hours are Monday through Friday, 10 through 2 is what I was told in terms of when these phone distribution people out at Coral Street are available, because we have to get through the locked gate, which I guess is sometimes easier. I haven't been in there since the gates have been locked. I may go in there in the near future to kind of look around and talk to folks, too, because, you know, why not check things out? So I want to remind you, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. We're looking for transmitter site and studio site. Studio looks like it's less pressing. We may have a kind of a reprieve on the studio site. We're not sure, but we've heard that we may leave at least until August to get some kind of clarity. I'm actually a little muddled about it myself, but it seems less pressing. That's my vague recollection. We had a meeting about 4 days ago, and we got the word from our landlord people that, you know, we may have a little more time, although the landlord situation is changing for us. So if you have any ideas about a room, I don't know, 10 by 20, maybe 15 by 15, where we can set up and rent, hopefully cheaply. We're looking for $300. We can't afford too much more, but maybe some more if we have to. Let me know, 423-4833, 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF. That's the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line, 423-HUFF. It's also my number. And I'm not the boss here at all. I'm just one of these collective members. But I can pass on the info to the folks in the know at the center, and we can all kind of talk about it. You're also invited to come join Free Radio. And that happens as soon as you want it to happen. If you got any kind of show that... and you're able to pay a little rent money, because we're always, you know, scrounging for that. Recently, we got back Merlin, who is an old-time broadcaster. We've got a few other broadcasters, and we're looking for more. Sandino, thanks for paying your dues. Appreciate that. And also, of course, we're looking for a transmitter site. And that means a place where we can put up our antenna. And that is still okay for us at the moment. But again, as I mentioned before, it's on foreclosed property. And that could happen. That could end at any day, any night. The deputies and the sheriffs could decide they want to or move on. I think there's some negotiations with the bank, or the bank can't sell the property. I don't know what the heck the situation is, but it's not good. And we need another place to go. If you have any ideas of a place where a transmitter site can be set up in Santa Cruz, all we need is a second story. Or a tall tree on a property with a person who is, you don't have to own the property, you just have to be a renter there, and your landlord has to be a nice person who is willing to address it. No landlord has ever been sued in Santa Cruz for addressing this. All they do is threaten you, and then we just move on once the landlords get threatened, if that happens. So, call in, 427-3772, 427-3772 is a call-in number. Also, you can email in, rnorris3@hotmail.com. I'm checking the emails, and it doesn't look like anybody's emailing, but you can if you want, rnorris3@hotmail.com. And while I'm waiting for this flood of emails and phone calls, here's a little music.
No doubt you read your papers, but the half can never be told. Politicians will try to fool you and get you to agree to blow this world to glory and inhumanity. But there's better things to do than blow this world in two. You can live into your old age, and your kids will be normal too. There's better things for you that all on earth must do. Gotta put your feet on the road to peace and see your journey through. Now some folks think bad danger can't reach this peace for sure. They must see planes and soldiers before they call it war. Kind friends, I will remind you that atoms very small. It can blow you all to glory, and you can't see it at all. There's
this world into. You should live into your old age, and the kids will be normal too. There's better things for you that all on earth must do. Gotta put your feet on the road to peace and see your journey through.
Now some folks, they are holy. In the Bible it is told that judgment comes tomorrow, so today pray for your soul. But that is not sufficient. Tomorrow is today. They'll blow you all to glory while you just sit and pray.
But there's better things to do than blow this world in two. You can live into your old age, and your kids will be normal too. There's better things for you that all on earth must do. Gotta put your feet on the road to peace and see your journey through.
And we'll wait on that next song. That's Ewan McCall, actually Peggy Seeger, Ewan McCall's partner, from a song from the 50s when there was a strong anti-nuclear movement in the United States and England. I guess these songs are mostly from England. And the name of that sucker that we just heard, There's Better Things to Do. Red Church, a place I go to on Mondays, is a place I get interviews, and here's some of that from a week ago Monday. Talking with that man with a bicycle and a blue cap, the infamous Dream Catcher. How's it going, Dream Catcher?
It's going very well.
And you were telling me that you, though you've been ousted from your spot on the, what, Whiteout Lighthouse Field, the cliffs?
At West Cliff, where the surfing contest was. Yeah, it just looks like I'm a guy that's still surfing.
So you're maintaining your surfer disguise.
Correct, with a little doggy house.
So you've moved, however, to San Lorenzo Park in order to pretend you're surfing the duck pond?
No, I'm scuba diving in the duck pond.
Ah, scuba diving. Well, that's sort of...
Some big orange gobby ups in there.
This is, I got to see. But there has...
Have you seen the big koi in there?
No, but I saw the heron the other day.
Well, it looks like a big, giant goldfish, or it's a whatever. Hey, Justin, how's it going, buddy? Right on. But anyway, there's a good profile around, I feel. Less belligerence, you know, from locals because of the alcohol. And
you mean less drunken locals are harassing poor people outside? Or?
No. Well, a lot of locals have been knocking out tourists for being drunken idiots, you know. And I've seen it happen, you know.
Drunken idiots in our town, coming from out of town with a lot of money? Come on, what are you saying?
I'm saying that they're overindulgence and we should... be
a little more
tolerant when you're walking down the street with a beautiful woman and you don't expect a man to compliment her and hopefully you, if he can connect the dots appropriately. But if not, well, wham bam, I can hear the smack a half a block away.
What about the harassment of homeless people sleeping? You said that's been reduced recently? Or?
Well, there's the hopeless cases, okay? The Tourette wing nut, bipolar bears that will scare you. The cops just keep their hands in their pocket, and hopefully they're not going to do any harm to anybody else first, and then if they do harm to themselves, well, then we'll call the appropriate.
So are you suggesting the only people who get harassed are folks with so-called mental health problems?
No, the only ones that get harassed are the ones that sit there and wait for it to come up and harass them every day.
So if you move fast enough, you avoid the harassment?
Well, if you're looking for harassment, go sit on Pacific.
Well,
light up a cigarette. My last ticket just the other day.
I see. So you yourself are one of those criminal smokers. And we're going to interrupt Dreamcatcher's tale of crime because we do have Pushback Pat Colby on the phone. Hi, Pat.
Hi, I wanted to do a recycling update.
Oh, go for it. I know, though, you were serving food, or at least you were there at the food serving activity, emergency breakfast this morning.
Yeah, if you want to ask me any questions about that, I can start with that.
Oh, what was your general impression of it? I know it seemed to be have more folks than the Monday emergency breakfast. I don't know if anybody was, I'm always, you know, whipping people to acquire more volunteers. It looked like more people were showing up, whether they were officially volunteering or not. What was your impression about anything?
Oh, well, you know, Bombs got quite a few volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Anything that you noticed that you want to comment on from the meal today? It went on for a longer period of time, and it seemed to be more tables, more food, more people, more interest, more homes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There was one thing I really wanted to point out when we saw the CCHT officers. They were actually helping Chief McHenry load the car, and Sergeant Moray was too, so, you know, kudos to them, thank you. But I noticed as we were sweeping the area to, you know, make sure we didn't leave any trash behind, I didn't find a single needle. Keith didn't find a single needle. Kevin didn't find a single needle. Keith went across the street to the spa place to see if any trash was left. Didn't find. None of us, I guess we're just not unlucky people. There's no needles.
Yeah, you know, the whole needle thing seems to have, there haven't been anybody shaking needles at the city council, nor has there been any real expansion of Sharps containers that I'm aware of. I mean, I remember asking online someone of the very virulent anti-needle folks if they supported putting in Sharps containers, and they kind of backed off from that idea as well. And so I'm not aware that the city has put in more Sharps containers particularly. So if there is such a needle hysteria, or I should say a really needle crisis, let's assume it has some validity, you would think that we would actually be seeing some of it. But I haven't, and I haven't been getting reports, nor has Take Back Santa Cruz been shouting much about it, nor has the Clean Team. Have you heard anything more about it? I know you keep closer contact with the Clean Team and that group and the Discus and the Sentinel and so forth than I do.
No, I don't go on those. I just have my Facebook group, but
have you heard any more about complaints about needles or more stats about needles?
A needle every day.
I'm sorry?
They're unlucky.
I'm sorry?
Well, in that people have told me there's some very unlucky people that everywhere they go they find a needle every day.
And who is saying this?
And there still is somebody that's telling me that, I guess, is in their group.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe maybe there isn't that much, you know, change. I thought there had been. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying it hasn't changed. They're still, obsessed on it. My impression, I had to leave for a little while, but it was really nice. People really appreciated the food and the caring. It was like just the energy there was really good. I think it helped lift up some people that are afraid about what's going to happen on July 1st.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're supposed to get a report tonight. That's what James Weller has been putting out, and I heard that from Steve Plaich as well, that Janin Thomas, the executive director, is going to make an announcement. I invited her, to come to this meal, but unless she was coming in drag or hiding in the bushes, I didn't see her there when I was there, and I was there for most of the meal.
Came after you left.
Who came after?
Maybe she got the heads up.
I'm sorry?
She came after you left.
You think you saw her come after I left?
Yeah, they did. They told me, Kevin and Keith.
And what did they
talk to her and stuff.
Oh, she did come out
after?
Oh, wow, that's good.
Later, yeah. Yeah, so that was good, you know, that reaching out in response to, you know, we're not trying to hurt anyone. We're trying to help. There's already been one person stepping in front into the street. Themselves. There's been other people that say if they lose the meals and showers and laundry and all that.
Kind of hard to hear you, Pat. You're either talking too fast. I'm not sure what it is. Repeat that last.
Let me turn up my volume. Is that better?
Maybe.
Yeah, let me check. Yeah, my volume's on high. I'll try to speak lower. But there's one person that actually already did step into traffic to kill himself.
There was a woman yesterday, I guess it was the day before yesterday, who died. Andy was going to come in and talk about her, one of the fellows we had on the air on Sunday, but he hasn't made it in. He says he's still kind of recovering. He did a long interview with the Sentinel, which may have already maybe already online. The Sentinel sometimes has a story later in the day,
which appears
the next day in the on the print edition. Go ahead.
And then there's threats of other people doing it. They're seeing what's going on, and we're getting stories that the Poly Loft isn't going to be closed. Then we're getting stories, unfortunately, now James says now the Poly Loft is going to be closed. People that were staying in the H. Smith, the more permanent, the 60-day trailers, are all getting evicted out, and they're going
to... Actually, I've heard that 17 are getting evicted, and that, again, which is about, I don't know if it's half the number or so, but, you know, I'm not really broadcasting much of these figures until I hear a more definitive statement from Jan and Thomas, or maybe from Steve or Kevin, who you say were there when Jan and Thomas showed up after most of us left, although, you know, what she says, I mean, you know, on May 26th she said they were closing everything down, now she'll say something else. I mean, you know, it's a little unclear. She won't supply us with the budget. She won't supply us with last year's budget. She won't provide documentation for people who are on the waiting list so they can avoid sleeping tickets. I'm in a little trouble trusting or having a lot of confidence in Jan and Thomas.
That's exactly what my brother was saying. It's like we're not hearing the real story because all the people involved with the homeless service center, the county people, the city people, they're all being secretive, so we don't know what grants do what they're going to, so we just have to wait and see.
You know, I speculate that, you know, that one can imagine that maybe, you know, there was a concern about a budget problem, and they did lose this big grant, and therefore, you know, they want to encourage other donors to step up, so they ramp up the pressure by talking about closing down all the services, and that is maybe a fundraising device to try to get people to give more money. Which, you know, I could have some sympathy for that, maybe, although apparently it's produced some crisis feelings in a lot of people. And I guess there's some question about whether this woman who got hit in the crosswalk was, you know, one guy thought it was a suicide, another guy thought it was just not good because she had been evicted from the Page Smith earlier in the day after she'd been both evicted and also banned from coming back that day for some reason. I don't have a lot of specific information on it, but I guess, you know, it seems to me that they have enough money. They have a $3+ million budget, according to the Sentinel, the Homeless Lack of Services Center. And if they wanted to, I have a hard time believing, although they will claim some of these funds are committed in some projects and some to others, that they couldn't have shifted some money around to deal with emergency services being retained first. And, you know, I've talked to you about this before, and I mentioned it on the air, but it's, you know, it's really not clear. It's all pretty murky.
My brother says that in Monterey, and was it Santa Clara or San Jose, John? Santa Clara, where they went ahead and used, you know how I've been talking about those HUD community block grant money that Carol Berg oversees, that they shifted that money to cover the shortages in Monterey and Santa Clara. They just went ahead and did that, didn't do any threat.
Well, the only thing I know about that is that there was apparently, according to the newspapers, a cutoff of similar amounts in those two counties, as in Santa Cruz County, that prompted the Santa Cruz, Jan and Thomas executive director to say, we're closing this down, we're closing that down, and so forth. But in those two counties, according to Loisel, at least in his county, Monterey County, there's nothing really closing down except the AIDS project. And the shelter services are being expanded rather than closed down. So not massively expanded. We're still talking piecemeal, bitsy, pitsy stuff. Anything else, Pat? I'm going to roll on you, probably.
Well, what I was like trying to say is they've already used that HUD community block grant money to fill the grant being denied gap. So they went ahead and did that. It's like I've been suggesting.
I'm sorry. Who went ahead and did what?
Monterey and Santa Clara County,
right?
City already took the community block grant, which in Santa Cruz is overseen by Carol Burt, and used that money to cover for the grant that they didn't get.
Oh, I see. So you're talking about a different grant that was used to cover it. And you're saying Santa Cruz has the grant and isn't using it or never got the grant to cover the additional grant lost?
It's under the old redevelopment now. It's called development. Remember I said that they have...
Whatever it is, I'm trying to get the simple version of this. In other words, is there... Are Santa Cruz have the resources to cover it with the same kind of grant and are not doing it, or they didn't get that grant?
Yes, they have those two.
But
so they aren't offering them up.
I see. Okay. Now, you also wanted to talk about recycling, and I kind of pulled you off that track. What's the update on the recycling situation? I know about a month or two ago, you yourself, 6 months ago, initiated a program to counter kind of a combination of public, private bigotry and public works collusion with the bigotry to shut down recycling centers based on the fear that homeless people were using recycling to, buy drugs or steal bicycles or whatever the story was.
Out of the blue. And
so you were.
So, let me give you the update.
Uh-huh.
So, these stores, especially in the West Side, because the West Side recycling got forced to shut down. There's all kinds of stories going around how that happened. So all these stores should have automatically started this process of becoming required convenience zone stores. So as of 3/18 of this year, they got their final affidavit letter, and so far, Circle Market returned it, You Save Liquors has returned it, and America Pack Arco on Mission has returned it. Rotten Robbie is still going through the notice process. And the ones that have totally ignored the state, they're in total violation, so they're having to send enforcers down.
Okay, so I need a little clarification here, because now explain to us, I guess I want it a little more simply, what recycling centers or what stores are disobeying the law that requires them to take some recycling or pay a premium to either the city or the state?
These are out of compliance. These are ignoring the city.
Okay, which ones are out of compliance again?
Mission Liquors on Mission, Safeway Store, Valero on Mission, 7-Eleven on Mission, Santa Cruz Market on California, CVS Pharmacy on Mission, and New Leaf Community Market, which was right next to that West Side recycling. So I put in another complaint, and so they're sending enforcers to come down and make them comply, but they're ignoring state law and regulation.
And the reason that you know that this is the case, Pat, that these particular stores are not in compliance is how?
Oh, I just sent an email by the person who's in charge of keeping all these stores in compliance and up to date and sending inspectors, sent me this beautiful graph, which I'll probably be posting on IndieBay and also on Huff, of all the stores that have complied, all the stores that haven't, that were supposed to open. And she sent me a second graphic for all of Santa Cruz. And so I'll be putting that information out there. And if anybody, and she tells me over and over to say this, if anybody is having problems that there is no store accepting them in their convenience zone, like the West Side is a convenience zone, I'm not supposed to have to drive to Costco to recycle, because that's a waste of my time and my gas.
I gotcha.
To complain. So they need to call 1-800-RECYCLE when they have any problems with recycling.
So that sounds great, Pat. Is there any responsibility that the city government has or anything they've done recently or haven't done recently you want to comment on around recycling?
Well, they're really supposed to keep on top of this, and they're really not doing it. They're supposed to help the state keep these stores up to date, and the stores are just defying, ignoring all the letters they got from the state.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll send a public record asking what the public works does in this case.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm just wondering what exactly they are required to do that they're not doing, if they are, and is there any city ordinance or policy or state ordinance or policy that the city government is violating?
Yeah, I'll have to ask what part in this that they have in enforcing it.
So if folks are interested,
what responsibilities?
If folks are interested in this recycling issue, give a call to me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll pass on the word to Pat, unless you want to give out your number, Pat.
No, you can just pass me on the word.
Okay, 423-HUFF, if you have questions about recycling, if you have new information about recycling problems, they won't let you recycle where you... Then, you know, give me a call at 423-HUFF, and I'll pass it on to Pat. Pat?
Yeah. And tell them, you know, complain often. And if it affects you every day, call 1-800-RECYCLE-EVERYDAY because they need to have complaints coming in to enforce so that they have stuff to show the store and they can force the stores into compliance.
Now, do we actually know that this agency is a meaningful enforcer? Heard of any experiences in other cities or seen any action in Santa Cruz that demonstrates they're anything more than a paper tiger?
Oh, yeah, because I've already seen that the Circle Market is now in compliance. That's in the Emirate Circle. You Save Liquors is on Alomar. Ameripack Arco is on Mission. And Rotten Lobbies is almost compliant. So they've actually sent these letters, and these people responded appropriately like they're supposed to.
They probably sent letters. They probably sent letters to all of them, but only those responded. What's their next step? Want another letter? Or?
No. They're sending people right down to the stores.
Oh, to
and
talk
that
to
be
them personally.
Anytime now.
Right, but you're not. You don't know if this process actually works in other cities or elsewhere. That is to say, if you have a recalcitrant provider. Or a non-recycler who ignores a letter and then they get a visit from this group, do they respond or is that at the end of it? You know, they get their little lecture.
Oh, well,
and then
I'm
they
sure
go
that
on.
They force them eventually or start fining them $100 a day.
Uh-huh.
But it's really important for people to complain.
Yeah, I'm not sure of anything.
And,
I don't get sure.
I don't get sure
of these things unless I see there's a real record of this. And a lot of times these state agencies are in cahoots and collusion with the interest groups that you would think they would be opposing. But, you know, I'm glad if any of this happens, you've had some success. Keep it up. If you want to reach Pat Colby, give the Huff line a call, 423-HUFF. I will pass it on to her. She'll get back to you. You know, we all need to recycle. It's particularly important for homeless and poor people. Any last words, Pat?
Fixed incomes, yeah. So basically, they promised to keep me up and, you know, just doing what we can do and, you know, asking the store, why aren't you doing it, you know?
Sounds good. Thank you for calling, Pat.
And the state's been really responsive to my complaints.
I got you, and I hope they're more responsive.
Really
Thank you. And we're going to leave it there. I'm kind of dashing through some more stuff. I appreciate Pat's calling in and giving us the update. And, again, you can reach Pat just by calling me on the Huff line, 423-HUFF. And talk to her at greater length about these issues. A little music, and I'll be back.
Brother, won't you join in the line? Brother, won't you join in the line? Wanna keep on breathing? Join us in the line, brother. Won't you join in the line, brother? Won't you join in the line? Come and save the world, man. You're only just in time. Want to hear the songbirds singing and see the sun as well? We don't want no fusion bombs to blow us all to hallelujah. We don't want our bodies scattered all around. We'd rather go on living with both feet upon the ground.
Brother, won't you join in the line? Brother, won't you join in the line? Want to keep on breathing? Join us in the line. Brother, won't you join in the line? Brother, won't you join in the line? Come and save the world, man. You're only just in time.
They say they've got a clean bomb where the fallout doesn't fall. But to me the best bomb is the bomb that isn't there at all. You ask for decent houses, they give you bombs instead. And a 6-foot hole to house you in and a medal when you're dead.
Brother, won't you join in the line? Brother, won't you join in the line? Wanna keep on breathing? Join us in the line. Brother, won't you join in the line? Brother, won't you join in the line? Come and save the world, man, you're only just in time.
government is toiling, they're working night and day, planning your destruction in a scientific way. They ask for you to trust them and let them have their head. You'll find you'll have no problems, but you'll also find you're dead.
Brother, won't you join in the line? Brother, won't you join in the line? Wanna keep on breathing? Join us in the line. Brother, won't you join in the line? Brother, won't you join in the line? Come and save the world, man, you're only just in time.
Another by Peggy and Ewan, Brother, Won't You Join on the Line. Of course, today it's as relevant as it was then. We haven't had a nuclear war, as a lot of us predicted would happen in the late 60s and early 70s. You know, Nixon was all set to drop bombs in North Vietnam, and there have been numerous really close calls, and Obama's playing brinksmanship in the Ukraine, and it's far from over. So, sister, won't you join on the line? And we're trying to do our own here in Santa Cruz around issues that essentially are suffering because of the mass militarization that we are facing and the huge power the military-industrial congressional complex has acquired in the last decade based on the terrorism myth and the drug war myth, all this stuff which has built up huge powers in police departments locally and the military nationally, and politicians who feed on this kind of crap, including Bernie Sanders, who apparently wants military contracts in his district as well. You know, the great socialists who are in power. You got to watch out for the folks who are in power, because it's the power structure that corrupts them. And that's what we have to attack, as well as those who are, you know, holding places in it and defending it, whether it's Micah Posner or Pamela Comstock or David Chrazis or Martine Bernal or whoever these people are at the top whose policies are hurting people every day. It's not, as Micah Posner said yesterday on the St. John Sandage show on KZSC. I was listening to some of it and reviewing some of it. I taped it just in case he might have said something worth listening to. Unfortunately, he didn't, which is the usual problem with council members generally, and those who, Micah Posner specifically, and you can say at least he doesn't say bad things. But you see, I come to expect people who claim they're interested in good issues to be willing to do good things, like make sure the staff provides real reports, like report to the community on what's really happening, instead of, you know, his generic appeals for people to come to city council and back up his timid, essentially staff-licking responses. Here's a kind of a report. You may have followed it in the papers or seen it on the television or been to the council meeting. The budget hearing, the final budget, was on June 9th, 2 days ago, at city council. And there was no mention at all of restoring or providing additional funding for meals, much less shelter, much less any changes in funding for the police harassment expeditions. There are human rights violations around the sleeping ban ordinance, which have increased significantly in the last few years. Ticket after ticket after ticket for either sleeping or being in a park after dark, or covering up with blankets, smoking. And the reason I include that is because when you give a ticket to someone who's smoking where no one else is around and no one's complaining, and when you give a ticket to a population that's 70% of them smoke compared to 18% in the general population, you are targeting a group of people. That's what these laws were made to do, to drive people away. It has nothing to do with good behavior. It has nothing to do with lawful behavior. And those who claim it does and use that kind of phraseology are using the kind of code words that were used against blacks and other minorities at different times in history. It is a code word for get them goddamn bums and homeless scum out of here. We should give it the same disrespect, disregard, and rejection that we would give that kind of talk against other racial and class groups. At that meeting at the Santa Cruz City Council, there was the staff came back with a report that they did not want, in spite of a unanimous vote at the City Council, mostly due to Pamela Comstock, I should say, to some extent Micah Posner, and then backed by Cynthia Chase and Don Lane, that they should set up a pilot program for 3 months to open up two of the peekaboo bathrooms and the garages, I guess it's Locust Street and Soquel Street, to 24-hour use, which some people don't mind. I think it's really gross and abusive to have see-through bathrooms. I mean, you can't quite see people's genitalia as they evacuate into the toilet. But, you know, it is it's pretty degrading to have these lack of privacy. And at the same time, right around the corner, this is true at least at Locust Street, I think it's also true at Soquel at the garage bathroom, there is an employee/customer bathroom for businesses nearby that is paid for by the city and in a city structure. And it's a private room. You can lock the door. You get the key from either, I get the key when I go in there from the little Shanghai restaurant where I occasionally eat. But I can't imagine that the little Shanghai restaurant simply pays for that bathroom all on its own. It was built into a city structure, and I assume it's rented out, and there's a rental issue by the city. I need to get more details on this. But this is a bathroom that the privileged can go to, whereas the ordinary individuals, and it also degrades tourists who want to use this bathroom. But, of course, tourists have money, and they can often go to a cafe or a more upscale bathroom. And there is still Cafe Gratitude and the Bookshop Coonerty, or Bookshop Santa Cruz, as it's known by the sign out front, which has visitors' bathrooms, if they're open, which they usually are, during the daytime hours, but not at night. So in any case, the 24-hour bathroom situation was unanimously voted by council on May 26th, but the staff decided they didn't like the idea. They said it was going to, we don't trust the homeless, there's too much vandalism, it'll be too expensive, too dangerous for our staff to clean. And so they came back with a report that they wanted to open the bathrooms first only until midnight, and then they altered it a little, made it until 2, and then reopened them at 6. And what happened here is the council, Micah said, well, we already agreed that we were going to do this. I don't quite understand. Is this the right time to be changing in midstream? All we're looking at here are reductions, and the staff was suggesting a $25,000 reduction so that because they don't would be open less, and so they would have to pay less money. But Pamela Comstock very strongly voiced an objection to this change by the staff and came out with very specific figures that she's found if the Parks and Rec won't dirty its hands by cleaning the bathrooms at night, then she's found a company that will. And she cited costs, I think it was United something or other that's going to serve it. And good for her for doing that. It's hard for me to, you know, give, you know, her an endorsement on anything else because on most other issues I've heard, I have to take issue with what she does very seriously, mostly a lot of anti-homeless shit, so to speak. But on this one, she's right on, and moreover, she has the courage to stand up and speak about these issues and get very specific and do the kind of spade work that is required instead of saying, as Micah Posner says, well, come to City Council and support me. And when I ask him, good, get the report from the staff, he says, oh, no, you should go get the report. I don't want to offend the staff, and I'll talk to them privately and see what they say, that sort of thing. And I'm always looking, because the staff is the conservative element in this town. They are the people that really run things. And when that issue was brought up by a caller on Sandage, I guess I get back to my original point, this is on the John Sandage show on KZSC last night, Posner said, oh, no, the staff only does what the council wants it to. They have to come back to the council and get the council's support. And, of course, that's asked backwards, because it's the very rare occasion when a courageous council member stands up and says, hold it, staff, no, this is what we voted, this is what we want, and has to essentially do her or his own spade work. And I've said this before to people who talk about wanting to run for city council. You need to get your own independent staff to research issues that are important, because the staff will come up with stuff that supports their agenda, not yours. And for Micah to claim otherwise, oh, we can trust the staff, it's a wonderful staff, they're great Parks and Rec workers, I mean, I've loved them so much. And you hear this really disgusting, constant flood of praise for the staff who are, at least the tops of the staff are doing this, and, you know, unfortunately, rank-and-file staff members too often, pushing anti-homeless agendas, whether they're supporting the sleeping ban, as the SEIU section of the staff did in about 6 or 7 years ago, in a forum we had, or whether it's Danette Shoemaker at the top proposing stay-away orders and new powers for her to control large areas of town just by a stroke of the pen and make them illegal for people to go into without any kind of public input, just by making a declaration without going to city council or to the Parks and Rec Commission, a law that she was able to shovel through the city council back in 2006 or so. Whatever it is, this kind of stuff is contrary, I think, to the interests of the community, to the interests of any kind of really responsive government. It sets up essentially a secret government. It sets up an unresponsive, inaccessible, opaque government, which is what we have. And to claim, as Micah was babbling away about on Sandich, that we have a government, all you have to do is change the city council members and things are going to be different. And here's what you do. You just write a letter and you get in contact with your city. And it's this usual rap that is used to justify the existing system that has nothing to do with the real consequences of what's been happening over the last 15 or 20 years and where we are really going to hell in a handbasket. And it's a sad thing to see, a sad thing to hear, and something we have to correct. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert. This is the show Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. And you can reach us at 427-3772, 427-3772. Off air, in case you're a little timid about coming on air, 423-4833, 423-4833. Let's go back to the interview with Dreamcatcher that got interrupted with that report from Pat. And thank you, Pat, again for the report.
I am a smoker, yes, but I try not to smoke on Pacific anything because I can't. I'm never enjoying it long enough to make it worth my while, so I might as well go to the appropriate place, make it worth my while, and have everybody not see me smoking. Then come down. You know, I don't have to smoke on Pacific. I've considerably lessened my smoking.
Well, if the only attacks were against those smoking on Pacific, although I think these laws are designed to go after homeless people primarily, because it is the unhoused population that generally smokes more than the housed population for probably the reasons it's a tension, you know, reliever for one thing, or at least some folks regard it as that, I wouldn't be so concerned. But, you know, I haven't been down here recently in terms of hearing specific incidents in the last month. But I have heard of, you know, continuing sleeping tickets. I have heard of continuing harassment of people who are essentially engaging in survival behavior that, you know, they don't,
right,
no fault of their own.
If it's your first time of contact, you know, and you handle yourself appropriately, you know, they'll suggest an appropriate place, and they'll
an appropriate place for sleeping.
Well, the appropriate place will be not in the place that you're at the moment.
I see. Well, yes, but it really depends on the whim of the particular officer of the moment, too, right?
Well, his appropriateness is well documented.
I wish it were. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do anyway. And we've been talking with that model of propriety.
Galaxy Guardian.
And the Galaxy Guardian.
Dreamcatcher. You know what? I need a bicycle cart, everyone. I'm down in front of the roaster, usually at night, doing my squishes and my art stuff. I have the bike. I got a really nice doggy, portable doggy container that they give you when they spayed your dog without your consent. Well, anyway, it makes a great cart and secure. I got the wheels, but you know what? It would be nice just to set the box on a cart that's set up to hook up to my bike.
If you got anything for Dreamcatcher, call 423-4833. In the event that I see him, I will get him in touch with you. Thank
right.
you, Dreamcatcher.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Right on, Robert.
All right. So, we have a report from a man who's kind of keeping an eye on the scene downtown. You say the benches are, the lack of benches and the drinking fountains, and you're particularly concerned about the bathroom. What about the bathrooms?
The fact that there's only two, their hours are very minimal. Right. And I also do not like the idea that you're exposed to the public view half the way.
Popcorn
like,
is available.
They could claim maybe they're trying to limit drug use, but they still have a back booth with a wall. That's nonsense. The guy in the urinal does not have to be standing there with a mess, you know, between him and a little two-foot, you know, door. It's degrading.
It is degrading. And
they are, we already know that bathrooms are intended for the homeless or the disenfranchised. If they were concerned about the tourists using them, they'd have more.
And a bit more privacy. And more privacy, for sure. And we've been talking with the analysis of...
Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Dreda, any comments?
No, I'm going home.
No problem.
Not necessarily for comment, but over the years I've been appalled to realize how much is set up.
Here's a voice on the street next to Marini's. Sitting outside a box and next to a building. So we're talking with
Paul Herko.
Paul, you just showed me a complaint you gave to Mayor Don Lane regarding an incident, police department and the police department, that happened on May 15th, an incident that happened at the bookshop Coonerty, as I call it, or bookshop Santa Cruz. You want to describe what happened?
Yeah, I was in the far stall doing God's work, pants to my ankles, and two officers came into the restroom when it was completely empty as someone was walking out and asked me what I was doing in there, and that there was an anonymous complaint about something going on in the restroom. And I said, I'm taking a crap. And I had to wait 3 minutes for the stall, and I had to clean the stall out before I could use the toilet. So then when I sat down to do God's work, they came in and asked me what I was doing, and I said, would you give me a minute? And I walked out. Two officers asked me what I was doing, and I said, I'm going to the library. So I walked to the library, and one of the officers followed me on a bike and was sort of apologetic, but quizzing me as to what was going on. And I said, I have no idea, except that you violated every constitutional right I have. So I filled out an internal affairs report with the police department and started action, because I've never been treated like this anywhere on the planet.
Well, as you know, the respect given to people who are poor or appear to be outside or are using the public restrooms, and that's one of the citizen restrooms. There are two of them in Santa Cruz.
I have no problem with Cafe Gratitude. I have no problem in any public restroom. And so when the second officer followed me to the library, he said, well, where can we reach you? I said, well, obviously in any public stall you want to talk to me in. Indeed. I told him I'd be in the library stall if he wanted to talk to me, because I felt like throwing up.
You mentioned that they didn't ask you if you were hurt or injured or needed help.
We're investigating an anonymous complaint about something going on in the restroom. So
they didn't tell you what exactly was there.
Or who. Just, we're investigating. I said, well, that's nice. Investigate this.
You're here. Anything you want to add, Paul?
No, other than I could read the letter, but...
And if you want, do you think that would be appropriate?
Let me read it. I enclose this with the police paperwork because it basically describes the situation. To Don Lane, mayor and head of city council, from me, Paul Herko, and my vitals and a number. Why did two police officers come into Bookshop Santa Cruz public restroom and question me by name while in the stall? They were investigating an anonymous complaint. One officer followed me on his bicycle to the library to follow up. This incident occurred on May 15th about 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and I request some sort of hearing and results. And then I filed the internal affairs report, and it was date, time stamped, and they're working on it.
Names of these officers again, that as far as you remember them?
It was Officer Hoppy, and it was another officer, dark curly-haired younger guy, Brugier or something like that. I caught his name on his badge, but I couldn't quite spell it. And I've seen him since, but I haven't seen Hoppy. It's been a couple, 3 weeks now.
Well, I remember, Paul, about a week ago, about a block from here on the corner, you were accosted by an officer for, what, accused of smoking, something like that?
Yeah. I just do what the rich college girls do all day and all night long. I think it's selective enforcement.
A criminal cigarette smoker.
I guess.
Anything you want to add?
No, I just find that Santa Cruz does it different than anywhere else I've been on the planet.
That's tactfully put. Thank you, Paul. We've been talking with?
Paul Herko.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Should be. And along Walnut Street, here's the music of Tamarack. It's around 9:10 on Monday evening, the 1st of June. And there has been... Complaints, again, filed with the police department aren't not necessarily a bad thing, provided you don't expect anything to come out of them, provided they're simply, you understand, they're a paper record, because that's all they are in this department. That's what I found, unless you have video, and then your real complaint is your video on YouTube and you're publicizing it, as, for example, happened recently in Salinas with the beating that was publicized on Santa Cruz Indy Media, that Salinas police chief was at McMillan, who was coming here, you know, sort of flouting around like a star in front of the book in the bookshop Santa Cruz last year, although his police department had killed 5 people, and he was still not revealing it. I think at that point he consented to reveal the names of the killers, the police officers who shot at least one of the more recent victims. This was a matter that was really raised by Sin Baris and other activists, and has continues to be raised. And protests, I think, are generating in Salinas even now around this issue. If you go online to Santa Cruz Indy Media, which I'm about to do. Now let's take a quick look at this. Rally Against Police Brutality, Support Jose Falesco. And this is a... let's see here if I can take a look at it. I think... you have to really see this. It doesn't do a lot of good to hear it. But the video is available online. On Friday, June 5th, Salinas police brutally attacked Jose Valesco, according to the story, a mentally ill man who was experiencing a schizophrenic episode. In solidarity with Jose and his mother, Rita Valesco will be meeting outside the courthouse during his arraignment, and that was yesterday, to demand an end to police violence and to attacks on the mentally ill. And I believe that was mentioned in the story. In the Santa Cruz Sentinel today as well, and maybe I will follow that further on Sunday. Also, another item: human rights under attack in the city of Santa Cruz. Dennis Etler has written a story. He sent it as a letter to the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Actually, it's an op-ed piece that he wanted published. He didn't get a reply to them, although I think he talked today to. Jennifer, Jessica, Jay York of the Sentinel, who was at the emergency breakfast interviewing people at some length, and maybe he'll get some more. But you can read his description of the situation about the closure of services at the Human Lack of Services Center online there, and actually I may interview him on Sunday about this. Again, there's supposed to be announcements breaking, perhaps have already broken, and we haven't heard them. By Jan and Thomas. In fact, if any callers have heard anything, any updates, and they want to call in, we have about half an hour left in the show. Feel free to do that. I have still not received from her a copy of the budget, nor have I gotten that from Micah Posner or any other council member. I don't know if I've specifically asked for it from Micah. I think I suggested he get it, but I don't remember. There are other things that have been happening. I know he still hasn't gotten to me the emails that document what's going on with the 24-hour parking ban, which he said he was going to forward me 2 weeks ago. So Mike is a little slow on this stuff, or has decided not to do it, and I may give him a call and find out what's going on with that. He gets enough powder puff treatment from Happy John Sandich with his happy talk on KZSC. We don't need to happy talk him here, although...
you know, it's important to realize there are council members who deserve equal, if not more, criticism than he does, though pretty much they're all pretty much of the same pack as far as I'm concerned. There is a court date tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning for these Monterey 8. That's going to be in Monterey, in Monterey County Superior Court in Salinas on Church Street. And their charges in the Black and Brown Lives Matter rally, which happened back in March. They oppose, and this is a petition you can sign online. You can go down to the Court Support Facebook page. I've actually talked to some activists about the Monterey 8. And there are some other court dates, so you can go online to Santa Cruz Indy Media. Or if you're in Salinas and you want to check this out, I'd love to hear what the report is for that. And then again tomorrow at 5 on 123 Green Street. I think that's the former mayor Christopher Crone's house between Union and Mission Streets. Wow, has he moved? I thought he lived down in the Beach Flats or in the south of Laurel. I'm not sure, but it's at 123 Green Street, and it's a Support the Highway 6. These are the groups who, this is the group of students who blocked Highway 17 and caused so much consternation because they inconvenienced so many drivers with their concerns about police violence and the tuition ripoffs and immiseration that's being created as the wealthy heads at UCSC and UC throughout the state continue to lap it up at the expense of poor and middle-class students who are faced with lifelong debt in the tuition raises. And that's going to be, again, 5 to 7 tomorrow, 123 Green Street. It's a, you can get updates. It's a community mixer. It's organized by the Santa Cruz Highway 6. And it's also more details, or those details anyway, on the Santa Cruz Indy Media website. Then I posted Councilmember Posner's call for 24-hour bathroom support. And, you know, it has to be said that there was kind of a, the way that thing finally resolved, I mentioned that Comstock stood up for it and stared down the staff, actually, which is very rare. But, of course, it was unanimous city council, and she has a strong interest group behind her, Take Back Santa Cruz and other law and order types. And she apparently has come to the wise decision that fighting 24-hour bathrooms is just not a good idea. In fact, having them is a very good idea. And why not? And because particularly since Posner's porta-potty at a cost of $15,000, which could have much better been put into opening bathrooms, has been successful, even though it's been, you know, vandalized a couple times and isn't being kept clean. And the city workers go and clean the tourist bathrooms every 2 hours. But this porta potty only gets cleaned 3 days a week. I guess they're going to get more porta potty cleaning due to the commendable publicity put on it by Brent Adams and others who raised the issue, primarily Brent, who organized this. And for those of you who don't like Brent's recent activities around opposing the emergency breakfast stuff, I don't like him either, but I want to give credit to Brent where credit is due, and he has done a lot of good things in the past. He is particularly helpful in exposing police violence on certain occasions and documenting other things with video, and I hope he continues to do so. And keep that good work going, Brent. Though when you start throwing croissants at Food Not Bombs people and scattering flyers, as I heard you did on Monday, that's not such a hot idea. I don't like that. And, you know, I mean, it's we all get carried away. We all get angry with each other. But let's hang in there. There is a real issue that's going to be coming up, and I'll get back to this encampment stuff that we're talking about. There's a meeting, an encampment group meeting tomorrow at noon, and if anybody's interested in coming to it, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll try to set you into that. The issue of what if services are closing down and a lot of people be on the streets, this, of course, is an ideal time for those of activists who have been saying, most people are out on the streets anyway getting harassed who are poor and homeless. There's only a small percentage that are actually in these transitional housing programs or the temporary 30-day Paul Lee Loft. So if everybody's being thrown out, now's the time to start an encampment where everybody can come, or as many people as need to can come, or a number of encampments, however it should be done, to get this thing changed. Whether it means, you know, essentially dumping the sleeping ban, which needs to be done, of course, and the camping ordinance, whether it means occupying vacant buildings, whether it means other kinds of significant and profound changes, this could be the opportunity to begin this process in a way with maximum community support. And we're going to be talking about this at tomorrow's meeting, as well as talking, and it'll be talked about publicly at 6:30 on Sunday. Now, I suspect that Janin Thomas, the executive director of the Homeless Lack of Services Center, is going to blow the wind out of these sails by finding funding for at least some of these programs, and so she can claim the crisis is solved. Of course, it isn't. There's a very small fraction of the population of homeless people that gets any sleeping services, and the rest are criminalized at night. That is the blatant reality, and people have been afraid to do anything about it after the Occupy movement was crushed. But in 2011, we had a month and a half long encampment that worked reasonably well, that served far more people than the Homeless Lack of Services Center ever served in one night, by people self-regulating what they did. And there were a lot of problems, sure. But there was also a place where people could store their stuff during the day. There was a place where people could take a piss. There was a place and take a dump. There was a place people could cook food. There was a place people could do the things they need to do because they are human beings and they are outside. You know, I guess people can see this about foreign countries. They can see that when there are emergencies here. But otherwise, they kind of buy into this, oh, they're just a bunch of crazy people, or they're a bunch of fucking drug addicts, or they're a bunch of out-of-towners who want to have a good time here and leave. And, you know, that becomes the painting you put over, the pretty picture, the nasty picture you put over the real suffering that misrepresents what's really going on. So back to the audios and your phone calls, 427-3772, 427-3772, if you'd like to call in. Let's see what we've got here.
Still downtown on Pacific Avenue, and there has been a lot of, light rain in the last few mornings, I've noticed. Or at least the mornings seem to be, everything's dampened down when I wake up. But I don't see any more markings on the sidewalk. And these markings did not disappear with prior heavy rains.
What I'm talking about are the little bracketed blue, yellow, and red marks that mark off the areas where you are permitted to perform or do a free speech activity, or vend a craft or a bit of artwork that you have. The notion being that the other, 90% of the sidewalk, whatever it is, great majority of the sidewalk, is forbidden to you. Whereas merchants can lease huge amounts of the sidewalk and will now start occupying parking spaces as well with these so-called parklets that are being pushed by people like Michael Posner. And you are in a situation where the amount of real public space where you should be able to engage in the normal activity that people do, one of which would be to sit down, is not disturbed or harassed by gunmen in uniforms walking around with legal support, radios, and squad cars, and massive military formations to back them up. And that's what I call it when bunches of officers get together and surround you. I suppose it's not really military. I mean, they aren't shooting you, sniping at you from a building, but it smacks of a police state kind of stuff to me, particularly when it has nothing to do with any real public health or safety issue, but simply with a kind of running off people from public spaces in the interests of the commercial folks who want to take over the avenue, or the mismanners who somehow believe that all kinds of people should be excluded from the downtown, or at least all kinds of behaviors should be excluded because they don't like the way they appear, because they are related often to poverty, or sometimes to youth, or sometimes to African American culture. So let's hear some more of this. What I was mentioning is that I noticed that many of the marks that seemed to have been washed away and not replaced by the city, and I wondered, these are the marks that demarcate the areas that you are allowed to be. Vast amount of the sidewalk you're not allowed to be. In fact, if you try to sit down, it's less than 1% of the sidewalk, unless you are engaging in a performing activity, a free speech activity, or a vending activity. If you're engaged in a resting activity, good luck. You better find a bench if you can, and again, the number of benches has dropped. Not recently, but in terms of the benches that were supposed to be available when they took out all the brick planters after the earthquake 25 years ago, has been reduced at least by half. However, I've noticed some of these marks coming back, so I guess they're still doing, they've decided to keep this system going. I thought it was going to be reviewed in 6 months. But Don Lane, Mayor Lane, told me, no, it's not going to be looked at until August again. So I guess they'll ignore what I thought was the law on this, though. I suppose it's peripherally better for performers and vendors to have these spaces, though not for the community generally and not for the poor who, or people who are disabled and older people who just want to rest and who dare to sit on the sidewalk or to sit down on the berms of planters, which is also illegal in Santa Cruz, although it's done all the time. Let's hear some more.
And I can only assume they've either been, I'm looking in front of a new leaf, intentionally removed. Maybe hard to see them here in the under the street lights. But I don't see them. No, it's not clear. Similarly, over here. Hey, man. And there's usually there are two spaces near. One is near the actual new leaf. The other is further out toward the between the two crosswalks next to the kiosk. And it's not here. So.
What up, dude?
You're here. Take care. All right. The Cafe Pergolisi, it's around 11:10, and I'm talking with an anonymous
John Doe.
And Mr. Doe, you say you have a report?
Well, yeah, something I heard on the street. Yeah, it's a report. What I heard was there was a couple that was being detained, I believe, and they were on the ground out of their car, but their dog was in the car, and the officer asked if the dog was going to be vicious or bite her or anything. And they replied that yeah, she's probably going to try to protect her territory, but let me get up and I can get her out and it won't be any problem. She said, no, stay there, or something to that effect. Now, I'm not sure about all the details, but what I heard she ended up doing is having the doors open a little bit, just a little bit. So what she did is took a can of mace and put the can of mace up through the window and sprayed the dog through the window and closed the door back down again. And then another officer came up and said, well, what are you doing? I know these people. They're not aggressive. There's nothing wrong with them. And then she got it was a female officer. They call her Officer Barbie. She's a tall, I think it's this one. She's a tall, blonde.
Santa Cruz Police Department?
I believe it's the Santa Cruz Police Department. And I've dealt with her before. She's been very nice to me. But apparently she doesn't like animals. I don't know, but that's the story I heard. And now that dog, they had to take that dog to a hospital out on Mission, down by on Mission Street, and its mouth was swollen shut. It's now half blind. That's for the rest of its life. And it was just crying badly while I was in the car. And that was.
Were these middle class folks or houseless?
No,
folks?
They were not middle class folks at all. They're street people, but they're.
He's a good person.
He has a van.
He's a working man. Yeah, he has a van. He's working.
I didn't know that, but that's what happened.
When did this happen?
This, I believe, happened maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
And do we know where it happened?
Do you know where that happened?
No, I don't.
I don't know where that happened at either.
Do we know the name of the person it happened to?
But I don't know if.
If they're interested, tell them to get in touch with Huff.
Okay.
And I'll give you a card, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
He was concerned. I don't know if you mentioned that they held him while the dog was ill. He wasn't able to take care of the dog right away.
Oh, yeah. He got up to try to help the dog, and they tased him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they tased him, and so he was out, and the dog...
Same woman who tased him, or did there were other officers?
I believe it was the same woman. The woman tased him, the same woman that maced the dog. And
this guy is not a derelict, not a drug user. He's a normal drug addict,
and he's known by the police department to be a decent person, not a criminal, and he's not causing trouble. And
it wouldn't make any difference. You don't tase someone who's whatever.
He's trying to protect his dog. You know, he loves his dog. So
right,
I mean,
no matter what they are. Yeah.
So
if you can get in touch with this person, tell him we'd like see if he's okay to have his name at least mentioned in this report. I'll be playing this on the radio tomorrow night, probably.
Okay.
Very nice.
And we're talking to Mr. Doe and...
Miss Doe.
Mr. and Mrs. Doe. I see. Well, Doe.
Yeah.
Hey.
We've got a couple little fawns running around.
Oh.
I'm wondering what the... I read about a new law protecting homeless in their vehicles.
It hasn't happened yet. It's currently in the assembly, I think. I don't know. It would... I mean, I, if it gets anywhere, I'd be amazed. But, yeah, I mean, there's supposed to be some protection, which...
What...
You know, more on that later when I actually see it go somewhere. So,
and there was no call from the owners of the dog who was tased, who was maced, and the person who was tased. I did, however, run into a tall, relatively new, young, blonde female police officer today who was taking a report of from various... security guards at the Homeless Lack of Services Center as I walked by en route to the protest. I paused to record the thing, and I was asked what I was doing, recording, not by the officer, but by one of the security guards, and I said, I'm keeping an eye on what's going on the streets. I work with Cop Watch. And what happened was the officer was essentially backing up the Homeless Lack of Service Center's security guards, who were claiming that this individual needed to be evicted, he needed to be told to leave, and the officer did that. But the guy was strongly objecting to this, and he wanted to make a report himself. The officer refused to make the report. So I went up to her and I said, why aren't you, let him make the report? And she started sneering at me, because I was wearing a bathrobe, maybe she doesn't like my fashion sense, I guess. And addressed me by first name and said, I don't have to do any of this, and goodbye, and so forth. And I was recording it, and I don't know how effective the recording was, but I kept asking, you mean you're refusing to take a police report from the other party? That hardly seems fair. What's your problem? And she sort of became even more condescending and said, what's the report number? To me, a completely irrelevant question. And I said, huh? And she drove away. So, I don't know. I don't know if this is the same officer, but we'll probably hear more about that on Sunday when I come back, because I may reach that particular tape or audio at that time. And I'm kind of working through some of these audios little by little so we can kind of get the, the sound of the street. Here's some stuff from last Thursday, gosh, about a week ago. An activist is another interview from the street, I guess that's what I'll call it. Let's hear it.
Well, it is June 4th, and it's about 8:05. I'm in front of the secret headquarters of Free Radio, and I've run into a man who confesses to have been homeless for a month. In fact, still lives in a tent?
Yes, that's right. I'm living in a tent right now. It's severely improved my predicament.
And it's reduced your waistline. Looks like your belt is going to require a few new notches.
Yeah, I actually went down a couple inches on the waist.
Do you recommend this as a new dietary approach?
I actually think it's a great idea. If you want to lose weight, homelessness, I find, is a great way to lose weight. You'll eat a lot less and a lot unhealthier as well.
There you go. Now, how did you happen to get into this state? It was you were just too fat to move around, I guess.
Well, I was living in Portland, Oregon, and the job market up there was really rough, and I was working for a rather large corporation who laid me off because they said they just didn't have the funds to pay me anymore.
What kind of work?
I was doing apartment maintenance work. I was doing, like, general contracting work. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find another place to live because the rents are just getting so high.
Even in Portland, Oregon.
The rents are almost as high in Portland, Oregon as they are here in Santa Cruz, California. So that kind of forced me to move into the back of my truck. And I did that for quite a while. And it was very uncomfortable. My back feels better, though, because the back of my truck's pretty flat. And
again, another posturpedic approach.
Another positive thing is that, yeah, I haven't had any back aches for a
while. People are complaining about being homeless. I mean, it's all the rage.
It is, these days. Yeah. And it's happening to a lot of Americans, you know.
You're the first on your block.
And it's not just here, but all over the place. But I decided to come back to Santa Cruz because I thought I'd try my luck back here. And I have a job, and yet even with still working, I still... I'm unable to afford to find a place to live.
How much does your job pay?
I get paid about $16 an hour.
And how long have you had it for?
I've had this job for quite a while, and I recently came back to it. And but there's no guaranteed hours. And that's another problem that I find is that there's a lot of jobs that it's everything's become temporary, and I also don't have health benefits anymore. So I've been trying to be extra careful with what I do because I don't have health insurance. So, you know, I'm trying to find a job with health insurance and full-time, but that seems to be very rough no matter where you live.
Originally from Santa Cruz?
Not originally. Originally from New York City, but I've been living in and out of Santa Cruz for the last 6 years.
And have you been making use of the homeless lack of services center?
I have not. Because I have a tent, I felt like, you know, I like the solitude a little better.
And have you been approached by the police or... the Deer Parks and Rec Rangers about your tent?
Not yet. And I haven't been approached about my truck either because I have a little bit of camouflage back there. So
can you give us the license number, color of your truck, and where you park it every night, Brad?
No, that's as secret information as where the free radio station is.
Indeed. Indeed. So how long have you been homeless now here in Santa Cruz?
In Santa Cruz for about 3 weeks to a month. So I say altogether I haven't had a home for about 2 months.
And in Portland you were homeless for 2 months?
For a month. So I'm saying about 2 months altogether.
Is there much of a homeless community here that you have any connection with, or do you tend to connect with other people who are housed?
I connect with all people. I mean, I'm not going to make any judgments. If you're fortunate enough to have a house, I think that's a great thing. If not, I think that something should be done about that. And I've long time been a proponent for public housing. I see lots of development going on. The university building more housing, and even up in Portland, lots of.
But not for your kind.
Yeah, no, but not for people who are low income. No.
Well, no, but what we're really asking,
and to try to get on like you know Section 8 or to get into low income housing is incredibly difficult because there really isn't any low income housing. So
Mexico, perhaps?
Yeah, I've thought about leaving the country. My family has land on our Indian reservation in Canada, and there's a little cabin up there my uncle built after the Vietnam War, and I've been thinking about going up there. But
you're from a draft-resistant family?
My uncle wasn't draft-resistant. He willingly signed up for the Vietnam War and is now extremely anti-government because he feels he made a... He made the decision to enlist in the Marines in good faith that our government was doing the right thing, only to find out that the government really fucked him.
He was fooled again.
Fooled again. And he has a lot of Agent Orange nerve damage that the VA will not cover or pay for. You know, when I was 17, I wanted to join the military, and he was the one who convinced me, you know... He was the one who
could have had a steady job and a place to live. Now, aren't you regretting now that you aren't over there defending our freedoms in Afghanistan?
You know, if they were actually protecting our freedoms, and I don't know what the hell that even means, because, you know, I hear that spiel a lot. My cousin recently joined the Marines, and I was the only one of my family who was against it. And I said, you know, that people are pushed into these options of having to join the military service because the government... doesn't have any other kinds of service for people. And we used to have those things, like when Roosevelt had the Civil Conservation Corps. You know, people who were homeless were hired to go live in the woods and plant trees and take care of the forests. And, you know, things like that are no longer an option for Americans. You know, our options now is, well, you know, take a really shitty minimum wage job where you can't afford to live. And if you get a minimum wage, and I found that for a little while up in Oregon, I was on government assistance getting food stamps. And then I found out, well, if I started working a minimum wage job, I was actually going to be putting less money in my pocket than if I worked part-time with government benefits. And it still wasn't enough to pay my way. So,
is that the case here in California?
Yeah, I haven't even tried to get benefits in the state of California yet, but I'm worried that I'm not even going to be eligible because even though you can't afford to live, they say, well, you still can't, you still make too much money to get benefits.
Well, it's like the old song. Not enough to live on, but a little too much to die.
Yeah, exactly.
That's from the late 60s.
And, you know, I think something has to be done. I've recently been in contact with former members of the Socialist Labor Party, which is the oldest Marxist party in the United States, that closed its national office 5 years ago. And I'm going to start carrying the torch, and I'm restarting a section of the party here in Santa Cruz. So I'm hoping that, you know, maybe to win the battle, but at least fight the battle.
You want to say who you are?
Yeah, my name's Daniel Dene. And I'm also...
Not Daniel De Leon.
No, not Daniel De Leon, no. But that would be nice.
He is the founder of the Socialist Labor Party.
He is indeed. And...
many years ago.
So I'm going to... you know, I'm trying my best to stay afloat, and I keep myself involved with a lot of different activities. And although it's uncomfortable, I'm happy, and I know there's a good network of people in Santa Cruz to, you know, to help take care of me, and I help take care of them, and... you know, it's not just me alone in this. We're all, I find that every day I find more and more people are in the same boat. And we're all in it together, really. And increasingly every day more and more Americans are being put into this position. And we have to fight the establishment because they're winning right now.
Big time. So, well, is there a number people can reach you at, or do you want to be given, do you want people to contact you if they want more information or how to... join together, solidarity forever, and so forth?
Yeah, actually, you know what? If you'd like to contact me, you can reach me at peoplessongs@gmail.com.
Peoplessongs?
That's correct. Yes.
@gmail.com.
Yes.
All right, so you can check out our man here. His name again is?
Daniel Dene.
Daniel. And that's all I've got. Anything you want to conclude with?
You know, I